All right, cool. So we've been talking about being disciples, so that means being a learner, following Jesus. We talked about how sometimes we would see Jesus enter into spiritual warfare. We've defined that over the weeks. I'm not going to continue defining that. But, you know, the enemy does not like when we pursue Jesus, right? And in order to trip us up, stop us, discourage us, he will throw something at us or some things at us in order to discourage us and make us leave, right? Make us stop. We talked about last week, some of us have gifts or some of us have passions, things that God has used us in the past, and we've taken it, we buried it, put it in a hole because we were afraid of the fallout that came at us when all that drama hit the fan and flew at us, right? All the laughter stopped. But I'm serious, we talked about waking up and stirring up and fanning into flames the gift of God that Paul said, I laid my hands on you and you received this gift and I want you to fan it into flames. That means I want you to work on it and develop it and pray over it and seek it. And, you know, I keep finding myself in the middle of the night waking up and I'm like, God, just increase the anointing on my life. I want to be a bigger impact. I want to make a bigger hole for your glory to fill, right? In people's lives. And that's what I'm talking about. That's the fanning process. It's Holy Spirit, I need you. This is not about talent or ability. It's not about the right words. It's not about the right actions. It's about your Spirit coming and falling on this, you know, simple us, right? And he takes these simple things that we offer, our little loaves and fishes, and he creates the impact, right? And so fan that into flame. I love it. Yeah, I was almost going to go somewhere, but I'm going to pause. We talked about how in 2 Corinthians 2:11, there was a story about forgiveness where the church had actually kicked out a guy who was having a relationship with his mother-in-law. And the church at that moment was sort of this progressive church. They were actually proud of the fact that they were open to hosting this broken person in their church. And so they kind of prided themselves with, oh, this is cool, right? But in that openness and the greasiness of it all, they were tolerating and encouraging that kind of behavior. They, you know what I mean? And Paul had to sort of say, hey, listen, there are people in the world who need Jesus. And I'm not saying don't hang out with those people, because if you did, you'd just basically have to take yourself out of the world. Right, but I don't want you spending time and fellowshipping with the believer that is going to live like that, because that's only going to corrupt good habits, right? We all have limits to what we can tolerate in our life, and man, there are believers that will ask us to go just a little bit further down the wrong rabbit hole, right? And then we wake up one day and realize I should not have done that, right? And so, they had to kick this guy out. But then Paul was coming back after a time. He was like, okay, now that you've opposed him and some time has gone by and you've shown him that you won't tolerate that kind of behavior, I want you to go back and bring him back. I want you to forgive him and restore him, because his heart is probably broken by now, right? He's lost all of his relationships, all those bonds that he has with his brothers and sisters. He's lost his connection to God, in the sense, like, he's wondering, am I loved? Does anybody care, right? And it's the people of God that can restore him, right? It's such a fine razor's edge to walk, right? But it's important. It's important. By the way, if you find yourself in sin, we're not kicking you out today. This is not the precursor to all the imperfect people stand up. There's the door. So please, you can exhale and relax. But the point was, Paul then said, I want you to forgive and restore this brother. I want you to put him back to right standing with God. Help him understand who he is. Don't let him forget. Because lest we, this is 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. That tells me that the Lord can take a good thing, which was the church standing up to oppose evil, and turn it into a bad thing, which is to destroy a life. Right? Ooh, razor's edge. Razor's edge. If you push too hard, you just crush someone for not being perfect. And raise your hand if you're not perfect. Great, I was thinking I was alone, right? So we can't break people, but at the same time, as it comes, we can't also say, oh, no, you do you, it's cool, it's cool. There's grace, right? Oh, man, this is so uncomfortable, isn't it? is so uncomfortable. Because we have to look each other in the eye, and in love, I expect this of you, okay? Look me in the eye if you see something that is not right and tell me, Daryl, I love you enough to tell you that that's not right. But I love you. Please, let's get this right. Let's give our best, our 100% to Jesus. And it's my job to look you in the eye and say the same, right? And that's love. Yes?
Yeah, and the Bible says wisdom loves correction.
Yes.
Which is so hard, right? Because someone will speak a hard word to me and I'm
yes.
Ready to fight back.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Right.
But our job is to love correction. Get to that point, right? First not hate it, then maybe be able to stand it, and then maybe move into that.
But, yes.
We should love and appreciate that someone's willing to speak into our life and not look at
yes.
it as, look at your life. Look what you're not perfect at.
Yes, amen. Bible says that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens his friend. And unfortunately, the church also, as we always tend to do, swung so far that we were no longer sharpening each other, we were bludgeoning each other, right? And then we break hearts and we split off and we hurt, and some people, I'll never go to church again, and how dare you, and your imperfection is no worse than my imperfection, yours is just more socially acceptable than mine, and right? And we start creating all of these divisions and stuff, and that was not what it was about. It was about sharpening and restoring, and I want to know that the brothers and sisters that I stand along are in their best possible right standing with the Father. I don't want you to live in guilt, regret, bondage, brokenness, hurt, and I don't want to live there myself. Right? Yay. So the devil has these devices and schemes. That word, devices, in the Greek actually means devices, methods, schemes, sly ways. And we're not to be ignorant of those, right? Just to pray. There's plenty of scripture where we talk about confronting, but before we confront someone, we even fast and we cry about it. We have some tears because, man, if we don't fast and have tears while before confronting somebody, we're likely going to approach them with a lack of compassion and throw too much of us into the opinion instead of God's wisdom into that moment. And then you end up with those things that you see on Facebook where everybody's screaming but no one's getting anything done. Right? You know what I'm talking about. As we study scripture, we see that these schemes tend to occur in familiar ways. We just described one of them, but among the others, you'll see fear. You see manipulation, accusation, lies, distractions, and then dominating sin. Those kinds of areas, man, the enemy will use those to hold you bound up. Even though you're a believer, right? Even though you're free in him, you can still find yourself not free in a certain area, right? Yeah. That's why the Bible tells us to walk in the light as he is in the light, because if the freedom of Christ, the salvation of Christ were enough, okay, and this is careful, so keep me honest here, all right? But if the salvation of Christ was enough all unto itself, we would be perfect and have no bondages, have no temptations, have nothing holding us back. And yet, does anybody have something that they believe they're kind of being held back in their life, right? And so the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all righteousness, but then the narrow road, the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, who convicts and leads us and guides us into all truth, strips stuff away, right? And that takes a lifetime. It takes relationship. That's why we have church. Not to fool around and show off your cool new shirt. Oh, this is so old. You know what I'm showing off? How long a shirt can last.
Amen.
I think I was 16 when I... No. But do we understand what we're talking about? That dominating sin and distractions can come to hold us bound up, and Christ made us free, and yet he said, do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. If the Bible's warning us of that, that means there's a potential and we need to be careful of it, right? Okay. Sometimes they're, you know, believers think that the grace of God is so big and they say, you know, nothing will take me out of his hand, which is true, and nothing can stop me from being loved of him, which is true, and they're only thinking about the end. They're thinking about heaven one day, but right now I'm just going to party and enjoy my sin. And the Lord is like, but you're wasting your time in bondage and regret and brokenness, and the world is suffering the loss of you at your best. Do you care? The world is suffering the loss of you at your best. Yes. What? Well, some of us put on deodorant because we don't like to stink, and others, we put on deodorant because we don't want others to have to smell us. Right? It's give and take. It is both. So, it's from Daryl 3:17. All right, I'm not as wise as Sullivan, but it's still cool. Then we talked about how anger, how emotions, how good things that God gives us, you know, sadness is an important thing. If you don't grieve, you don't pass through loss. If you don't have anger, you're never motivated to change something, right? If you don't have joy, you're never motivated to get up and celebrate and find your next direction, right? There are things that we pursue, and those are good. Emotions are good. Neurotransmitters were designed by God, and they set us in a direction, right? And yet, we talked about how those things can also find us when they are just completely unsurrendered to the Lord. They're a foothold to the enemy into our life, right? Right? Okay. And so we also touched base on Ephesians 4:26 and 27, where the word said, go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry. That, I mean, that's like the Lord validating all you angry peeps in the room. He's validating you. He's patting you on the shoulder. He's like, nobody gets angry like you. That's a good thing, right? I love you, my angry little son. But he said, don't use your anger as fuel, okay? Don't use it as fuel. He said, don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. He said, don't give the devil that kind of foothold. And so what we acknowledge in that statement is it's not just anger, but it's almost anything that God has given us, but we allow it not to be surrendered, becomes a foothold in our life for the enemy to step on and gain some territory. And I asked that question, I think it was it last week or the week before, who wants to give the devil a little bit more of your territory, right? Who wants to move your fences inward, right? No. So things that are common can become, when they're unredeemed, unsurrendered to Jesus, can become footholds. And we will not go into that place, right? So the concept of spiritual warfare is not to be perfect. It's to be surrendered. Because the authority of God that we surrender to is the same authority that we get to wield against the enemy. And if we're not surrendered to his authority, we don't have the grip on it to wield it. Well, I used the name of Jesus and it didn't work. Well, ask yourself where you're not surrendered. How dare you? Right? I'm just saying, you got some egg on your face. All right. I'm going to just skip that. And everybody said amen. Let's talk about some of the devil's devices. Now, please keep your eyes on Jesus. This is not, hey, let's talk about the devil day. But this is always the dichotomy. It's like, I want to exalt Jesus, but at the same time, talk about these things, and I don't want you to become like so focused on that. You're like, oh, yeah, more negativity, right? Focus on him. Just be aware of what you get to step on every day, right? All right, cool. So fear, number one, fear. Do you like this one? I don't like this one. Fear's plagued me throughout my lifetime. How about you? I was the youngest brother in my family. I grew up with fear. Everything was outthinking the thing they could be doing, yeah, or they might do, right?
I had three brothers older than me.
Yeah.
I was the youngest.
The speaker at Real Options had mentioned this fact. It's a true fact that I've also heard that, you know, the number one fear in America that has been surveyed is public speaking, and the number two fear is death. People would rather die than speak publicly. Huh? Yeah, because vulnerability is hard, isn't it? Just being like truly naked, vulnerable in front of people is hard. And maybe you've tried once or twice in your life, and in those times, someone actually, they clobbered you and broke your heart. They didn't actually accept who you were when you showed yourself. And so you armored up and said, I'll never do that again. I'll never open, I'll never be vulnerable like that again. And when you say that, we call that an inner vow. And you just close the door to Jesus and said, you can have any room in my house, in this heart of mine, but you can't have that one. That's my closet. Stay out of my stuff. And I'm sorry if the church or someone you know and who someone who should have loved you enough to accept you in your most vulnerable place didn't do it. They didn't handle you correctly. I'm sorry. I know that doesn't fix things, but I do understand what it's like to be broken like that. And so I just want to encourage you that you don't have to stay there. Just like all things that we are afraid of in life, when you face it, and you're not facing it alone, by the way, you're facing it with God, and you're going to walk some steps, you know, you can get out of that stuff. And that is the not-so-technical definition we call inner healing. As you let him into that place that you've been telling him he couldn't have, and let him show you what he really thinks about that place. You know, what was going on in that place? Where was Jesus when that was happening? And where's he now? And right, what does he want to do with it? And right, he'll step into that. You just have to have the courage to say, fine, I'm unlocking the door, right? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You're like, no, that was for the lost, and that's for salvation. Actually, no. If you read it, it's in Revelations. It's written to the church. I stand at the door of your heart and I knock, church. And if you open the door and enter, I'm coming in, and we'll share a meal together as friends, Jesus said. You mean the church can lock Jesus out? Yep. If it wasn't true, Jesus would not have wasted his breath writing that down for you. Powerful, huh? You know, we this is like not so unknown fact, but there are 365 times in the Bible where the Lord told people not to be afraid. I know what some of you are saying. You're going to go write a devotional. All the work's been done for you. One year, no fear. I should write it? No. I'm too afraid. Oh, man. What are we talking about fear here? There's all the phobias of life and stuff that stop you from enjoying the fullness of life. But then there's fear of losing control. That's very common among us Christians because the Lord wants all the control. Right? And the fall of man was all about trying to steal it from him. You mean I can have wisdom without God? Yay, let's do it. That means I get to keep the control. And it's not working good. Not working good at all. Fear of losing your independence. Oh, that's horrible, especially if you've had someone who controlled you. And it's hard, but it is possible to surrender and to be dependent on him. But the spoiled brat is going to scream and scream and scream. And you know what? Fear, that's what, I mean, I don't want to go too crazy. I'll skip that. Huh? Have you seen, okay, this is not something I can prove in scripture, so I hate to waste the breath, but if you've seen a spirit of fear in real life, okay, the thing can't, it does, it all it can do is scream, and the scream will, like, put a rod of ice right straight through your core, but it can't do anything. It can only disable you and freak you the heck out. And when you learn to stop responding to that and just to say, my eyes are on Jesus, and that scream is just a scream. It's like ignoring your spoiled brat kid when they're screaming in the store. You're like, all right, when you're done, we're moving on, right? Are you done, right? But that's it, okay? And all the people who in here don't believe in that stuff said, move on. Fear of change. Sorry, but he who is in Christ is a new creature. Amen. The old is gone, the new has come. That means all the people who fear change, well, you just must be completely freaked out right now. Right? The minute you come to Christ, what happens to all your friends? They call you a Jesus freak. They think you're weird. Right? Your family thinks you're part of a cult. Well, that's a real one. Everybody laughed. Right? And I told you the story about how, like, I had aunts and uncles, and they were drunks and addicts and prostitutes, and my dad gives his life to Christ, and everybody said he was the weird one. Right? Fear of admitting things to others. That's that fear of walking in the light. Fear of the judgment that follows. If I admit this, I just soiled my family relationship with everybody around me as they see me having a scarlet letter, and then I got to go find a new church. I've heard a lot of pastors say, I don't counsel anymore because once a person walks through the door of my counseling office, that is the beginning of them leaving the church. That's true. I've heard pastors say that to me. Weird, huh? But it's true for them. 2 Timothy 1:7. I do have a slide for that if you have a slide for that. Thank you. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So the Holy Spirit that he's given unto us is power and love and soundness. And fear is a motivation to get us to do things, right? They say that, and you may know this better than I do, but they say that in like stocks, investing, that more people will react to the fear of loss than to the actual desire to grow when they make decisions. You guys have heard that, and maybe some of you who invest, right? I mean, fear is just like one of those things that it makes the world go around, right? Unless you're part of a different kingdom. And for those of a different kingdom, whether or not we're reacting properly to it, we've been offered the power and the love and the soundness of the Spirit of God. And it's like training yourself to accept, receive, and walk in that soundness, in that power, and in that love, right? And I think this is so significant to call it out, but because of the Spirit of God in your life, and because you surrendered your life fully and wholeheartedly to him, you are not without power. You are not powerless. Why is that significant? Because we just got done talking about fear of control, fear of loss of control, fear of your loss of independence, all these things, right? You don't have to give up the power. You've actually been given a new power, a better power. Your first power was only the power of isolation. Push people back. Your new power is you can let them in and you can affect them. And they can speak into your life and make you better. They can speak healing into you and life and encouragement, and you can do the same. It's a new power. It moves in love, and it moves in soundness. So when someone speaks to you, you don't have to trigger and be like, you know, go back to that time in your life where someone said something that totally destroyed you, and then now you're responding out of the fight or flight mechanism when they were just trying to speak into your life, right? You can receive what they say and be like, you know what? I hadn't seen it that way. Thank you for saying that to me. I'm going to work on that. I'm going to pray on that. Can we pray about that today? Like, have such a humble response to the feedback people give you, right? I have to do it. Did you say he's talking to you? Oh my God. Okay. Man, I mean, if we love each other, we will speak words of love to each other, but words that are true, right? We walk in truth and love, just like him, just like Jesus. So I'm going to move on, but I wanted to call out that spirit of fear. I really just hate that thing because it holds so many people vulnerable, captive, and back. And we could be set free in so many sins in so many ways, but yet afraid to let him out. Yes? Yeah.
I used to have a lot of problems with anxiety.
Yeah?
Hello. Sorry. So I had a lot of trouble with anxiety after I had my son, so going back 36 years ago. And I got to a point where sometimes I'd have trouble driving. I couldn't drive. which was really weird because I never had that before, so it was all new to me. But a pastor told me to start saying this. And so I started, every time I had anxiety, I started speaking this scripture out every single time, to the point of where I'd start to get anxiety. As soon as I said it, would be gone like that.
Yep.
And where I don't have anxiety anymore, I mean, you'll have your days of things bothering you, but speaking the truth to the lie got rid of it for me. And that's how I got rid of all that anxiety. Like, I was on medication.
Yes.
I'm not anymore. And when I still get some anxiety, I will still try to creep in, and I just say this, and it's like the devil, no, he's like, here she comes, she's speaking out the scripture, and as soon as I start, it will just go right away.
Amen.
So I wanted to share that.
That's very good. It reminds me of a scripture that says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. You have to respond to it. You have to know it. Very good. Just for those of you who like to build Lego blocks, 2 Timothy 1:7 is actually connected to 2 Timothy 1:6. That's pretty amazing. But what that scripture says is, fan into flame the gift of God that was put in you as I laid my hands and prayed over you. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. He said, remember, yes, last week we talked about, you have a gift and I want you to stir it up. The very next verse in that context is, God has not given you fear. Do not bury that thing out of fear. What if I'm not recognized? What if they don't accept it? What if I look stupid? What if I say something that embarrasses myself? What if I say something that hurts the other person? What if I just look like a general idiot?
What if you change the world?
Right, what if you just respond with a heart of power, love, and soundness? And you just take him at his word and move in that. Amen? All right, second one, manipulation. I actually hate manipulation worse than I hate fear. How about you? You might see manipulation come in the form of what we call a Jezebel spirit in the church. Okay? You might see that. You might just see manipulation. Manipulation, I think, ticks me off more than anybody else. Anything else, not that you care, I guess. But man, I will feel a personal responsibility when I see someone manipulating somebody to level the playing field. That's like my personal desire. And sometimes I have to surrender that, and other times I have to move in that, and same with you, right? Because manipulation is not of God. Truth and justice are the foundation of his throne. And manipulation is not true, and it's not fair.
Switchcraft,
yes. Because it comes from a spirit, right? Manipulation is twisting things in order to get someone to do something that the other person wants. We all probably know what it's like to be manipulated. Some of us have been like manipulative abused. Some of us are manipulating abusers. God help you. Right? If you see fire in my eyes. Manipulation has so many things. It's almost like fear that can paralyze you, but it can manifest itself in your physical body with all kinds of things like panic attacks and like heart issues and emotional issues and an inability to sleep and a foggy brain, the ability to actually turn your world around and see yourself as the one in the wrong. I mean, manipulation is ugly. You'll find yourself going to the doctors. This is how you know you're living in manipulation. You'll go to the doctors and ask them to fix what's wrong with you, and they're like, we can't find anything wrong.
It's like a canopy for so many bad things.
It hides.
Deception and
selfishness. Oh, yeah. And gaslighting and all that cool stuff. All right, Matthew 4, you guys are familiar with. Jesus was drawn into the wilderness to fast, and then the devil shows up to manipulate him. The Bible says tempt, but if you look at the ways he tempted, it was all manipulation. Right? It was not, hey, this is cool, let's do this. It like temptation normally kind of to me is like that. Hey, you want that, right? Go get it. Temptation. Manipulation is, you know, did God really say, right? Are you hungry? I mean, you can turn these stones into bread, right? And you can just tell the Lord you weren't really eating it. You weren't really enjoying it because it's just rocks, right? It's manipulation. You can do that. And if you are the Son of God, which is, are you really who you think you are? I think you're the crazy one here. You ever heard that? You're not the crazy one. You're you. You're you. And the manipulator is trying to make you second guess yourself, because once you step back and you're like, it could be me, you're now paralyzed in the, I just don't know. I might be stirring up some things in you, and if you want to pray after this, I'm going to just ask that the elders just stick around just in case, just cover the room, because man, if there's a part of you that you just like, the heaviness of the manipulator in your life has broken you and held you down for too long, man, we want to pray, and then we'll set up some appointments, you know, and Alex and Marguerite are doing, I'm making you busy, doing some inner healing work, and just like really try to get to the core of that stuff. It's time that we pull that out, that root of rejection and craziness that manipulation causes, so that you are not afraid to let the Lord just lead you along still waters without second guessing, right? So the enemy was always trying to figure out how to make Jesus forget who he was and what he was called to do, which tells me that the enemy is afraid of your potential, and that's why he's going to help you get manipulated and stuck, right? And oftentimes manipulation is also when it's with the enemy and not a person, okay? It's go do something that you're tempted to do, and then I'm going to tell on you. And if I do, everything in your life is going to fall apart. If you share that secret, no one can ever know, right? Your friends will leave you, your wife will leave you, your kids will be taken, and blah, 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 you'll lose your job. And, you know, if that truth comes out, right, that's manipulation. Ever suffered under that? Right? That's a spiritual manipulation, not a physical one where a human's speaking to you. It's a fear of what you can't speak out and let it, and allow the Lord to heal and correct and right? And it's scary as heck for some people, right? And it cripples us and it keeps us from being who we are and what we were called to do. It's okay. Take a deep breath. We're still going. Are you all right with this? In Genesis 3, you'll see the devil questioned Eve by saying, did God really say? He was twisting on the, right? Did God really say? And where do I see that today? I see that in the Christian circles among people who are asking, well, is the Bible really literal or is it allegorical? I just try to love God and do the best I can. That's kind of my general rule. Well, I don't care what your rule is. I don't go to church to hear your rule. I go to church to hear the scripture, right? Right? I don't really care. I mean, I do. I love you. I care what you think. But it's not going to change me. And I hope it doesn't change you. I hope the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, cuts between, right, the soul and the spirit and just tells us, shows us, here's this word, who we really are. Sons and daughters of God with a calling and anointing on our life. I hope it cuts. In a good way, I hope it cuts. Because that's when we get free of all that stuff we should have never been carrying in the first place. Amen? Let the garbage out. Let relationships begin to restore and rebuild. You're going to have to rebuild trust, I'm sure, if you let the big one out. Whatever the big one is. Right? But it's so worth it to be free. Man, nobody wants to move because you're afraid. I get a big one. So one of the core beliefs of this church is that the Bible is the inspired word of God. And why is that important? And why do people always want to fight about that? And because here's the thing. I believe that if I see this in the Bible, that I don't have the right to say, well, I don't think that really applies to today. That's why it's so important, because the moment I'm like, it's cultural, it's a Middle Eastern thing, it's an ancient thing, it's not for today, that stuff ended with Jesus, right? Well, all that stuff, what it's telling me is, did God really say? And now I have to sit here and try to be this theologian, and none of us in the room are probably theologians, right? And I'm like, I'm reading this Bible verse that says, the humble will see their God at work and be glad, but is that for me? Was that for David? did God really say? And then I can't take him at his word, which means I can't trust him. And I'm lost in the abyss of just who knows. I'm just going to ride this thing out until heaven comes, right? So, don't add to it, don't take away. Manipulation is the currency of hell, just as righteousness, peace, and joy are the currency of heaven. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so, it is my belief that whenever manipulation comes, whether it's from the enemy, whether it's from a person, it's all coming from the enemy, and its purpose is to take away your righteousness or your feeling of right standing, your knowledge of right standing. It's to take away your peace. It's to take away your joy. And leave you just doing the thing. Anybody want more of that? More righteousness, peace, and joy, but not more manipulation. Okay. The agenda of hell is to dominate, and manipulation is the language of domination. And the Lord does not want us to be dominated by anything. He doesn't even dominate. He just wants us to surrender to his... Yeah. No, it's very clear. He doesn't want to dominate. I think it's worth calling it out. The Lord is not dominating. He has given us freedom. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. It was not so that you could trade one dominator for another dominator. You know what I mean? It's really clear that we understand. Like, he's a good father. He's like, get out of the nest. It's okay. Go. I'll support you. Everything I taught you is going to stick with you, but grow. Go. Greater things than what I did, you will do. Just like a father would say to his kids, you're going to go out there and do more than I ever could. Right? It's not domination. It's get out there. You get them. You win. Charge. Right? Call me if you need anything. I'll be right there next time. Right? Celebrate the goodness of God. He's the opposite of the dominator manipulator. He is freedom. There is not one gross thing in his emotional state. There's no brokenness. There's no, right? He's not sick. He's not ill in any way. His emotions are what they are, and they can never change because he's not changeable, you know? And when he said he loved you, that's it. There's no changing that. Wow, he's such a good God. And I got so much more, don't I? I guess we should end here. We should end here. I got more, but I guess we're not done. I do want to bring up the prayer slide, okay? And I think we should pray over this. Like I said, I would love elders standing by and anybody else who, you know, you just know that God is putting an anointing for prayer and healing and deliverance on your life and you just want to invest that into others. Please just be on standby in case, okay? Maybe no one responds, maybe people respond, but these are the things we're praying about. Number one, forgive me for not living in response to Father God. I have allowed myself to become discouraged, afraid, and defeated by focusing on the effects of the enemy rather than the intervention of God. Number two, thank you for putting your cross between me and the attacks of fear, manipulation, accusation, lies, distractions. I'm done entertaining them in my life. Some of us, we just entertain it, nurse it. It becomes who we are. Done. Put the cross in between it. It's enough. Right? Time to die to that stuff. And then the last one, Lord, be my source of peace and rest. Let me fall asleep and wake with the awareness of your nearness. This is for someone I felt prophetically this week that dealing with sleep issues, and it has to do with not your body, like, not needing the rest. It's you need the rest, but you don't have an awareness of an actual cognizant awareness of his goodness and his nearness, and it's keeping you up at night because you're filling in the blanks with fear, uncertainty, regret, spinning conversations over and over and over, not productively. And it's time to just deal with that and find your peace again. Right? He gives his beloved sweet sleep, the Bible says. Spoken by a guy who is being chased by an army in the wilderness. Selah, think about that. Right? If that's you, come on up after the service and we're going to pray for that. All right. Does anybody feel like a specific anointing to pray over this moment right now to start? Like, you don't have to say it all, but just, do you feel like the Lord is speaking and you want to launch that thing out, start the prayer time? Oh, you courageous, unafraid people. Matter of fact, then, oh, you're going to hate me, but you're going to love me. Casey, would you do it? I knew you knew. Thank you.
I was trying to give someone else a chance.
I know, but you just do it so well.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message this morning. Thank you for your presence among us as we've just welcomed you here. Father, we thank you that you are greater than anything that is in this world. And we thank you, Lord, that your love is more powerful than fear. And when we invite you into our situations, your power and your presence can reign.
Yes.
And walk us through breakthrough.
Yes.
And Lord, each one of us have moments, seasons, people to deal with, and spirits of this world that are harnessed to those things. And Lord, I just ask that you would be with us as we identify areas in our life where you want freedom for us,
yeah,
where you want to reign, so that we can be just more aware and more secure in who we are in you, and in turn be able to walk this freedom out in front of others. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Jesus.
Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? My house will be called a house of prayer. I want to give everybody else opportunities, not just me all the time. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for the words spoken to us this morning. Thank you for penetrating our hearts with truth. Lord, as we walk out of here, sometimes there are some of us who will know what we need to do, but will fall astray. We know what we need to do, but we fall back into old habits. Lord, would you do a work in our hearts this morning? Would you change us? Would you make us come alive to you fully and completely? Remove our hearts of stone and give us a hearts of flesh that are alive to you, so that old things are no longer pleasurable to us, but only following after you, Jesus, is pleasurable to us.
Yes.
That we may easily turn away from things that ensnared us, because we know the truth that you are greater. There is more joy in pursuing you than anything else that we could do in this world. Lord, right now we ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us, come upon hearts this morning. Do a work and change us, Father. We need to be changed in your presence. We need to become new every day, every morning. We need more of you.
Yes.
Father, thank you for continuing to pursue us. Thank you for continuing to pursue us and to change us and calling us unto you each and every day, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I thank you that your word is always truth, and that you promise in your word that you who began the good work in each one of us will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. I thank you that we're all a work in progress, but we can trust you to change everything in us that doesn't perfect us in your image, Lord. So please continue to do the good work inside of each and every one of us and deal with our fears, our shortcomings, our lack, whatever it is. that we're in need of. We just thank you that we can trust you to complete that work and do it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for your word today. You are the way, the truth, and the life. All scripture is good for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, Father. We just pray that your truth would cut through the lies and the deceptions in our lives that we allow or we continue in. And we thank you that you are truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you.
Thank you, God. Thanks. Lord, I just thank you that we can pray alongside brothers and sisters who love you and who know their God and how to talk to him and how to intercede in a big way. And I'm so proud of this family for their ability to do that. Thank you for overcoming fear and bondage just that might come from praying out loud. God, I'm just so grateful for the cross. Thank you that you went to the cross for us and that act of love on the cross was enough. It didn't just save us from our sins, but it opened a new and a living way. God, that we can be free from manipulation and from fear and control and from accusation and lies, God, from domination. Lord, that the cross is enough, that you've given us that simple language. It's now threading its way cohesively through this church. It's going to become a mechanism of who we are, that we can place the cross between us and that thing, and we can separate ourselves from it and its effect in our life, that we can die to ourselves and surrender. And so, God, with the knowledge and the appreciation of that and the knowledge and the appreciation of who you are and what you plan for us and for our life, we say, God, there's nothing in our life that you cannot have access to. We take off the control and the locks that we may have put in place, and we say, God, if there's any part of us that you want to touch and you want to heal and you want to pull out, you want to tease it out, you want to rip it out, Lord, it's yours. Examine us, know our heart, see if there's any wicked way within us, and lead us in the way everlasting. We just open ourselves up to you. We put ourselves on the operating table and say, you're the doctor, you're the physician, we need healing. And so God, come in and expose those dark places to the cross, to the love of God, to the healing power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, pull it out of us. We don't want to be like we are when we look back on our life in the future. We want to have this moment, this day, to say healing began. There was a process and healing began today. God, we're so thankful that you love us. You love us and you will not leave us in this place broken and yet redeemed. You will make us healed and redeemed, restored, saved, delivered, healed, God. Thank you so much. We love you. We thank you for hope. We thank you for joy and peace and soundness this week. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 That was a light one. You guys are dismissed. Please come forward for prayer. And like I said, elders, please be looking. Please. Just in case.